the 16th bowl. Catholic boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Race the Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Wednesday morning as we kick off the final week here at Saratoga, but still six good days of racing left, so plenty of opportunities. This morning on the show, we'll be joined a little bit later on by Eric Donovan. He used to be a regular in here when he was doing the pregame show over there at NIRA. He'd come and do a little handicapping with us on a pretty regular basis, but we haven't talked to Eric in probably at least a couple of seasons. He's now the director of TV and broadcast operations, so I wanted to pull him over to talk a little bit about, you know, the season up here at Saratoga, how it's been different, how it's been the same, expanded hours and whatnot, because they do a great job, obviously, with the pregame that we all see on the simulcast, but the Fox show as well. So Eric Donovan coming up in the last half hour. Before that, Tom Law from the Saratoga Special, his regular Wednesday visit. Do note, if you just tuned in, the steeplechase today has been canceled. Tom usually takes a look at that. But we'll talk last week's steeplechase, where my man Jonathan Shepherd ran 1-2. But we'll also talk a little bit about the weekend stakes and what's coming up, all covered in the special that came out today and will come out this weekend as well. And then they have that special edition. We'll talk about that, which will recap the Saratoga meet and the Derby coming up next week also for the Saratoga special. But top of the show, I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, said we got to get you on the show. But after a nice stakes win on Friday and a couple of stakes runners coming up this Friday, I thought now was perfect timing for Jeremiah Engelhart. So I invited him on this morning. Maya, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you doing?
Very good. Happy to have you on board to talk a little bit. As I say, a little recap of last Friday, a little preview of this Friday. But before we do that, I also just want to get some general info. And one of the things I've been asking all the trainers over the past few weeks was, how did the quarantine period work? And for a lot of them, for the folks that were based in New York, obviously, day to day, the operations kept going while they waited for racing to go. I've talked to some trainers who kept going literally down at Gulfstream, but you were at one of the other tracks that kept going. You were kind of based down at Oaklawn this winter. How did that work out?
It worked out okay. You know, I, like anyone, I really didn't know what the right thing to do was when the virus hit. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be traveling, you know, because being based here, I'm going to Oaklawn and, you know, Belmont at the same time, and obviously where the virus was at that point, it was a lot larger in Long Island and New York City. So, you know, I thought I was doing the right thing by staying home and, you know, kind of staying involved with the whole operation. It put us a little further behind. We had some horses that stayed on the farm and didn't come out until the first week of June. But, you know, things are starting. We're starting to catch up now, and hopefully from here till the end of the year and into next, you know, this winter, things will keep picking up.
How'd you like your season down at Oaklawn, your first season? I guess you weren't there as much as maybe you wanted to be, but I've made one visit to Oaklawn. I like the track. I think the city is very similar to Saratoga. Yeah. What was your impression?
The same thing. I enjoyed my time there. Like you said, I would have liked to have been there. I wasn't there for the last 2 months of the meet, you know, kind of relying on my help there, and they did a great job. But, you know, the city is great. The town loves the racing. Yeah. You know, it's a really neat place to be for the winter, for sure.
You mentioned it, you kind of alluded to it, but with that quarantine break, we have been seeing over the past couple of months horses coming back from the break here in New York, a couple of months on the sidelines. And just from a trainer's perspective and nuts and bolts, that probably did set operations back, where normally we're looking at breaks now from last year to this year. Up at Saratoga, we've seen a lot of horses that haven't come back since last year. And I'm guessing probably that played into the break. You would think a lot of these horses probably would have seen April or May, but it just wasn't possible this year.
Yeah, for me, we normally move in here towards the third week of April into Saratoga with a lot of our younger horses. And this year we kept most of them in training at Webb Carroll's Training Center. And then when they came in, it was June, the first week of June, when we got the okay to open up Saratoga, because we were just kind of in limbo on where to go. I didn't have horses in Florida. I didn't want to send them out to Oaklawn, and they're going to be closing. So I was kind of, you know, Belmont, I wasn't sure. Do we send them up to Belmont if we don't know if there's going to be racing? So it was, there was just a lot of, you know, what are we going to do, ifs, ands, buts. And, you know, Travis did a great job, you know, keeping them going there and getting them ready. And, you know, we're about 2 months behind as far as, you know, where we were in the last couple of years. But there was just a lot of uncertainties on, you know, what type of plan you needed. And it seemed like the guys that remained in Florida really had an edge, because they were able to, you know, coming into Belmont, like, you know, guys like Christoph, Todd, Chad, you know, Mott, you know, you could see it when their horses got here. Like, even Shug, like, I mean, Shug's horses look phenomenal, you know, and everyone, all those guys, they look like they had a little bit of an edge coming in here.
Well, you kind of mentioned it. I think a lot of people, you know, now we can look back and know how it played out, but people forget, you get back in that March, April period, we didn't have any idea when racing was going to get started. So you're left as a trainer, like, when do I bring my horse onto the racetrack and start to get him back in gear for racing if you don't know when racing is going to get started again?
Yeah, even with the horses that are inside that you already have in your program, whether or not you're breezing them, or, like, you know, do I breeze them every week to make sure they stay, you know, fit? Do I give them a couple weeks off? Do I, you know, you're wondering what the right way to train them is when you don't know when the race date's going to be.
Give us some of your impressions as a media person. I think they've done a great job up here. We had to have the COVID test before the meet started. Now you get temped every day, and obviously, you know, no fans and limited access for the owners and whatnot. But I've had Will in here from the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. We talked to him at the beginning of the meet, talked about how it's a partnership with the owners. And the backstretch organizations did a great job during the period, the chaplaincy and Best and whatnot. And just talk about your impression of how New York has handled the situation.
I think that's, I'd give them an A+ from you know, top to bottom. You know, Naira's done a great job, and Nitha's done a great job, you know, making sure that all the protocols are in place. And, you know, it's sometimes you might forget to put the mask on, and, you know, you're walking around drinking a cup of coffee, and it's like, oops, you know. But they're there, the, you know, to constantly remind you. They've set up the Naira safety stewards, which have done a good job. And you can't say enough good things about Joe Applebaum and Will on how they've, you know, really have all their protocols in place and their updates and everything else with NYTHA. So it's been, you know, they've done a great job leading us in the right direction.
Is it affecting you on a day-to-day basis, or has it gotten to the point where it is just kind of second nature? Hey, put the mask on at certain points. And you know, as I mentioned earlier, you're still in this situation where the horses have to get fed every day. There are the things that have to be done that you can't get around. So as I say, has it changed things up, or are you now kind of into the right mode?
You know, the only times it really looked like it affected, you know, people inside the barn was when it was hot, you know, putting the mask on, whether or not you got guys in the stalls. It's 95, 100 degrees, and, you know, you just want to make sure everyone's safe and feeling okay. But that's really the only time you ever noticed that, you know, there's an issue with the mask. Other than that, it was kind of second nature.
And I'm sure you are in the same place that everybody I've talked to. Miss the fans over here.
That's the first day. I remember racing, and I'm like, this is really depressing. I actually left the next day. My family was back home visiting family at Finger Lakes, and I drove back during the race. I'm like, I didn't even really want to be here without the fans. It was really, the fans are missed, and I can't wait for the day they're able to come back here to Saratoga.
Yeah, you know, we're keeping our fingers crossed next year, opening day is back to normal, and I think the place will be busting at the seams if it is. You mentioned Finger Lakes. As I went to Equibase yesterday and was looking up some of your stats, lots of horses have been racing here for you and out of Finger Lakes as well. How are things working out there?
Good. They've done a good job there, Delaware North, with their protocols and getting things racing. And it looks like hopefully we're going to have the casino open here pretty soon. I don't know if Governor Cuomo is watching, but, you know, I can make a little push for that right now. But, you know, because they need it. You know, they're very purse dependent on the casino. And, you know, they have enough money. Chris Vaquero and the HPPA and Delaware North that's done a good job planning, you know, the meet out for the best they can. We started late, but, you know, we have enough money now to run till around the middle of October, I believe. But with the casino going, hopefully we can finish up towards the end of November. But, you know, Delaware North has done a good job, and hopefully they got everything lined up for the casino.
Yeah, I mentioned that a couple of times on the air. If people are looking here at Naira and places like Finger Lakes with reduced races and whatnot, I think there's some people don't realize how dependent, you know, that casino money puts in a little chunk of the percentage on the purses. So that's going to change things up. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that they do get open sooner rather than later. Also, with the state, you know, not having reduced revenues, you would think that would help the state out in general as well, to having some of these casinos open. So hopefully they come up with protocols that make that work for everybody. And speaking of protocols and making it work, I have to ask you another thing I've asked some of the guests that we've had in so far. For folks who have seen you on the show before, they know you're locally based now and you have a nice brood at home. And I'm just wondering, how did the social distancing learning work? The distance learning, which I have gotten mixed comments on. Most, it's like, ooh, it's tough.
Yeah, I can't actually say that I did a whole lot. I did a little bit here and there, but my wife, Robin, she really took the bull by the horns. And, you know, she did the best that she could as far as when the kids came out of school to do the Zoom, you know, meetings and stuff like that. And it got her a little frustrated at times. Yeah. I didn't realize how much I forgot, you know, from school.
That geometry does not come back as quickly.
No. I was able, the additions and the multiplications, I was okay, but I don't know. I definitely didn't retain all the information I had from high school. But she's very excited for them to go back to school, and she knows it's September 10th. So they'll be heading back to Schuylerville here next week.
Nice. And again, hopefully that all works out for the kids as well. As I say, I've talked to people. I know the distance running for a lot of people. I have a nephew who lives out in L.A., and he was telling me his 8-year-old, they had the Zoom class, and the teacher was trying to teach, well, you know, these 8-year-olds, hey, you want to see my dog? And it's tough, no question about it.
We might have to crack open a bottle of champagne when we go to drop them off the first day.
Yeah, first day back at school. All right, let's talk some of the racing. Again, a nice Friday last week kicked off. It was the first race of the day, the New York Stallion Series. You had to feel great when the entries came out, because Captain Bombastic just looked to lay over the field, although then you have to sweat out the race itself. We'll watch the stretch run, and he wins like a short price favorite should. Captain Bombastic will be the number two horse in here. Dream Bigger is legitimate. Chowda from our friends at Eddie F's runs third, and also a nice horse, but Captain Bombastic pulls away, chart margin over 5 lengths. Your impressions here, and what might be next for Captain Bombastic? I mean, you came out a shot in the Grade 1 Alan Jerkins with this one, so stepping back into restricted company on the state bred side, again, he pulls away, but you're looking open company maybe, or sticking with the rich state bred stakes races? What's the game plan with Captain Bombastic?
You know, I after the race, I said Jay, the owner, has done a really good job kind of mapping out a plan for him. I wasn't really a big fan of running the Alan Jerkins originally, but the way it worked out, you know, I thought he ran really well. And I was nervous coming into this race because Louis in the paddock, I had asked him, I said, Louis, you know, what would you like to do? And I'm like, boss, I think I want to be a little aggressive. And I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, there's speed in here, Louis. I don't want to. And then I see the 21 and change, the 44 flat, and I'm like, oh, my God, my hands and my, you know, I'm doing one of these looking at the TV. But Louis, he's just been on point, and he's been making most of the right decisions, and he did again that day. So it came out of the race pretty good, and we haven't really talked about what's next, but we'll figure out a plan here pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, the options are wide open there because, again, it was a nice fourth in the Alan Jerkins behind some talented runners. Tap it to win. Echo Town shoplifted, so that was nice against open company. So you have that option for back in against state breds. Let's also look at another race on Friday. You had a maiden, Party at Pages. Nice little filly coming off a close-up second-place finish to Irish Constitution, the firster from Ray Handel that looked good in that one's debut, and you were very close to that one in the debut. And the follow-up last Friday, a nice win, chart margin here, 3/4 of a length is the 1-2 favorite. Give me your impression of her, because as I say, you just missed in the debut and then second career start wins. You have a nice one on your hands here.
Yeah, this filly, actually, she's been a pleasant surprise. When I ran her and Samborella against one another, she was probably four or five lengths behind Samborella in the prior work. So when she ran second and got beat to race filly, I was kind of surprised in a bit, you know, in a way, because I was expecting Samborella to be the one that ran the A race. But sometimes with these younger horses, you put them in competition and they shine. And she's one of those little fillies that does. And, you know, what our plan was with Matt, Mark, and Boz was we wanted to, you know, find a race. Actually, I thought it'd be better to run her on the turf, and the ultimate goal would be the Lady Fingers up at Finger Lakes. So I was hoping to go turf to dirt at Finger Lakes, but if it came off, I still was going to be okay with running her on the dirt. And again, Louie did a great job getting her out of the gate, getting her to, you know, where we wanted to be in the race and held on, you know, from the four closing.
And that was a turf race that got moved to the main track. What are your considerations there? I mean, she'd run so well on the dirt in the career debut, it probably wasn't much of a decision.
There was a maiden New York race that was going 6.5. I didn't really want to run her 6.5 on the dirt. So I know the family, there's been turf runners in the family. So I really wasn't concerned running her on the turf. If it stayed on the turf, I was going to give her that chance. And if she didn't run well, I would still work her on or plan on running her in the Lady Fingers up at Finger Lakes. So when it came off, I mean, obviously we were going to stay on, and it worked out. Work out for us pretty well.
So the Lady Fingers still on.
I think that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, nice. All right, let's take a look at some races you have coming up on New York Showcase Day, some entrants, and Samborella. We'll kick the day off in the Seeking the Ante. That is the opener on Friday. And again, we're going to go back and look at that race where Samborella ran third behind Party of Pages and Iron Constitution. Samborella will be the number 9 horse here. Again, running third. Irish Constitution's number 3, Party of Pages number 1. And given what Party of Pages did last Friday, you have to feel pretty good about Samborella coming up this Friday. I mean, a maiden moving into stakes company, but again, given the effort here, you have to feel pretty good given what Party of Pages did last time.
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit of a shot in the arm to her that Party of Page came back to win that race. And, you know, Samborella just got off to a poor start. She reared at the start. And, you know, she kind of moved up a little quick during the race. And then just Jose said she got a little tired late. So, the way she came out of it and what I've seen from her this year, and talking to Al was, you know, he'd like to run in the Seeking the Ante. You know, she probably would have been very salty in the maiden special weight. But I still think she's going to be pretty salty in this race. So hopefully she shows what I think she can do on Friday, and hopefully she'll get a win for Gold Square. A
couple starts under the belt now. Luis Saez jumps on board on Friday afternoon. Also on Friday in the Fleet Indian, a little bit later in the day, race 10, you have Critical Value. She was the 2-year-old filly, New York bred champion last year. We were out in Vegas doing the NHC earlier this year and interviewed Marshall Graham, and he was kind of excited. He was thinking he might come up for the awards dinner, and then there was no awards dinner because he thought Critical Value stood a good shot of getting that honor. She did, but she's looked very nice on the comeback this year. We're going to take a look at the Bowery back in June. Critical Value, her first start as a 3-year-old after that good 2-year-old season. She wins by a chart margin of 4.5 by as the favorite. Again, this race was in June, so a little time off, but in the 21st century, not much. What are your thoughts on her going into Fleet Indian on Friday?
She's just a very professional filly. She's from 2 to 3. She's really grown up as far as their mental capacity and how she handles races. A little setback out in Oak Lawn with her front feet. Just didn't come out of Oak Lawn all that great and had to change some things with her shoeing and whatnot. Handled this race good. Had another issue. I had her in a race here in Saratoga that we wanted to run her in. And it was an open 1X to set her up for the Fleet Indian. But, again, had a foot issue there. So, hopefully, all these issues are behind her. And she, you know, the mile and an eighth, I'm not, you know, certain if it's her best distance. I think that one turn mile, she really shines at. But She's one of those fillies that when you put the bridle on and she laces up her, you know, shoes,
yeah, she looks great there.
She just wants to run, and yeah, she's very competitive.
Yeah, so we'll look in them. The potential, you know, you tried the Demoiselle last year behind Lake Avenue, and so open company potentially viable for her as well. I mean, some of these New York breds are talented enough. You have plenty of options, which is always nice.
Yeah, yeah. The New York bred program is definitely, it's one of the best ways to go, especially, you know, if you're based here. And now we're starting to see the New York breds can run just about anywhere. So yeah,
we'll see it down Churchill Downs.
Yeah, that's, keep our fingers crossed. I think this whole town will explode, yeah, if Tisdale can bring it home.
Now, we were over at Pinnell's for Belmont Stakes Day, and they won the race. And a group of people were biking through the parking lot applauding after
yeah,
the race.
Yeah.
And somebody said after the Traverse, there were people outside the fence applauding. So it's gonna be a lot of fun to see, certainly. But we're rooting for you with stakes action on Friday. It's been a nice meet up here. What your impressions of your meet? I think you've had a nice meet, right?
It's been okay. I set a goal about a few weeks ago to have six more wins to get me right around 9 or 10. A little slow to start, but hopefully we can finish strong.
But as you say, and I think it's been true for a lot of trainers, it's just been a funny year with horses, and you're kind of anticipating when do we get back. And so I think everybody has been a little bit behind. But as the meet has progressed, you know, with the two nice winners on last Friday and maybe a couple more this Friday.
Yeah, yeah, and like you said, it's just one of those years you got to learn how to roll with the punches, yeah, and, you know, handle how you handle the virus and everything else that happened this year. It's just, you know, and you figure out how to turn it around and keep moving forward.
Yeah, we're all in the same boat. Hopefully, again, by next year, fans are back and we're kind of back to normal sooner rather than later. Jeremiah, appreciate the visit. As I say, good luck coming up on Friday, and we'll talk again.
Thanks for having me, Seth.
Maya Engelhart, again, a couple of nice runners coming up in the stakes action on Friday, and plenty of other runners on the undercards as well. We'll take a break. When we come back, Tom Law from the Saratoga Special. Stay tuned. No track, no problem. There's no better place to follow the Saratoga race meet than Capital OTB and OTB TV. With our live TV shows from the Saratoga Backstretch and our live remotes, all the information you need is right here. Each and every day of the Saratoga meet, we talk with all the top trainers, jockeys, handicappers, and racing personalities. So stay with Capital OTB and OTB TV this racing season and win more.
It. Watch me. I got it. Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got a move that tells me what to do. If you don't, brothers and sisters, then you won't know what it's all about.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning means a visit from Tom Law, the Saratoga Special. Tom, good morning.
Morning, Seth. How are you? A little
very
rainy
good
today.
I got soaked on the way in, but it's let up. I mean, you were just out there. Is it still sprinkling? It looks like it stopped completely.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a little lighter than it was. You know, it was coming down pretty heavy there about 8 or so, and, you know, I was laying in bed early this morning. My window's open. I could hear it rain, and I just thought to myself, have a feeling the jump race might get scrapped for today. So, yeah, that's actually what happened. So,
which it did. So, first race now is race two. And again, post time is 1:15-ish for the first post today, which will be, again, race number two. But I wanted to go back and also show a replay from last week's steeplechase race. Wanted to show this, A, just so people could get a chance to see it again. But B, my man Jonathan Shepherd, 1-2, French light and a silent prayer, 1A and 1, get it done. So Jonathan Shepherd, again, up here at Saratoga, getting it done with a nice Shepherd 1-2 finish in the jump race last week.
Yeah, I gave you some awesome analysis, didn't I? these horses, I think I completely discounted. Well, I didn't completely discount the winner, but I was a little bit suspect. But, you know, he was just too good in here. I mean, he kind of had the race every step of the way at will, and then just draws off with authority here. And Shepherd's horse, second horse, ran pretty well, too. So, I mean, this horse is taken in hand right at the end, just kind of galloping across the across the finish.
Yeah,
just, you know, another good performance for Shepherd. And Shepherd and Jack Fisher are kind of in a good battle for the leading trainer and NSA leading trainer honors this year. So with some fall meets coming up, limited opportunity, could have a cool trainer's race in the jumpers as well as the trainer's race at the flat here at Saratoga.
And I've said a great way to kind of follow that is the National Steeplechase Association website. And you know, the steeplechase season up here is kind of wound down, but for next year, or just in preview of the jump meet, you can pull up replays and whatnot there of the jump meets and kind of keep up with the jump game there. But you said when you sat down, you had a little update on how things might play out in the fall with more of a limited schedule on the jump side.
Yeah, so typically you'll have the races here, and then there might be a few jump races in September down at Belmont. They've kind of put those races on hold a little bit, obviously some purse money that they're going to allocate probably to the flat races, which is, you know, appropriate. I mean, I hope they put it into the overnight races. And then some of the meets have been canceled. You know, we've talked about this before, about how some of the meets, you know, they rely so much on sponsorship and tickets and, you know, tailgating packages and kind of group events. So obviously very, very difficult to do, next to impossible for a lot of these meets. So some of them have been sort of scrapped. Some of them have been canceled, postponed, moved. The big Far Hills meet in New Jersey, which is always kind of the highlight, sort of the, it's not the end of the season, but it, you know, it's for all intents and purposes, it's kind of the last big meet of the year. That's on the shelf this year. So, but there are some other meets. There's some meets in September at Shawan Downs in Maryland. Mostly the meets are in Maryland and Virginia. You know, there's going to be Foxfield and Virginia Fall the first two weekends of October. International Gold Cup in Virginia again at the end of October. Then Pennsylvania is going to have the Pennsylvania Hunt Cup, and then they go to kind of the southern swing down to Callaway Gardens in Georgia on November 7th, and then November 15th in Charleston, South Carolina. So there's like seven meets. There aren't going to be any stakes, you know, so a lot of the big horses have already been.
Given the situation, though, I think that's a fairly robust schedule.
It is. Yeah, pretty good schedule. Yeah. You know, I was reading the Clancy's, or they either told me or we wrote about it. You know, things are a blur sometimes. Jack Fisher, his all his good jumpers, you know, Snap Decision and Moscato and those horses, he pulled their shoes off and kicked them out and turned them out. So, you know, not anticipating any more runs for some of those big horses that have been running. But, you know, certainly a lot of maiden opportunities, allowance opportunities, including the race that was today. Sort of that handicap division that Iranistan is, you know, looked
good.
Yeah,
it was a nice
race. Yeah, it was, it's unfortunate that it didn't go. I got a note into my colleagues, Sean and Joe, to see if maybe it's going to be rescheduled. They haven't gotten back to me yet, so we don't know. I mean,
I looked on the National Steeplechase Twitter too, and they didn't mention. So you know, we'll keep our eyes open.
They could be working on it for all we know. You know,
well,
they haven't even drawn Saturday yet. I mean, I'm not sure they would put the race on a Saturday or Sunday or Monday card, especially with the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. But, you know, Sunday or Monday could be a good opportunity for it.
Wouldn't surprise me if they did. It wouldn't surprise me either way, actually. You know, we've been talking about the Saratoga special.
Yeah.
Wednesdays and Saturdays and great coverage of the races. And I know last Saturday there were some nice races up here. We have replays. I'll tell the guys in the control room that you can pop out the replay of the Forego, and we'll watch Win, 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 the Amsterdam with Yopan, but also Channel Maker and Bye Bye Melvin. talk a little bit about last Saturday's races. To me, the four-go and the Amsterdam kind of jumped out. Win, win, win. Win, win, win was phenomenal for Trombetta, who said, I kind of didn't see that coming during the race.
Unbelievable. Watch him whip off the turn here. I mean, he's not even on the screen right now, but if your viewers or anybody, just go back and watch it. I mean, watch the head-on replay. Naira has it on their website. You can watch the head-ons. And just watch him back there. And then he just comes whipping off his turn. And he's just got all the momentum down the lane here. I mean, this was an unbelievable performance. I mean, words like that are used kind of a little bit too often maybe in sports. But just amazing. The fact that he was probably 16 lengths back.
Yeah.
After a half mile.
I didn't see the chicklet on the screen. And I didn't really think. And then,
just amazing. And then this is Jopan, Steve Asmussen's. Next greatest.
And that's the best way to put it. He's loaded with these sprinters.
Man, I mean, you talk about losing Mattoli. Let's just, you know, next man up. This horse taken in hand, wins in 108 and change. Not the most stellar group in the world, but he'll be tested down the road. But, you know, he's got Volatile. Now he's got this horse. He's got Echo Town. I mean, just loaded in that division.
And Asmussen made the point after the race. It's kind of funny. That was his third career start.
Yeah.
And he said, ironically, the first time he's faced only three-year-olds.
Yeah, he had gone against older horses. Terry Hill, who was covering the race for us for the special, he kind of said to me, how is that possible? He's only a three. I said, he ran in, you know, three and up races, I mean, in Kentucky and then here. It's just the way the conditions are written. So, yeah, very interesting. Sort of like Todd Fletcher's horse that's running in the Derby. He ran against older horses last time, and now he's going back to three-year-olds.
Yeah, you get to this point in the year, it's not surprising they've hit the older horses, but that he hadn't tried three-year-olds at all. But, again, he very lightly raced because it's a different schedule this year. On the turf side, I didn't call for the replays, but bye-bye Melvin for Grand Motion looked good in the Saranac and Channel Maker, and the Sword Dancer on the front end gets it done.
Hats off to all those horses that ran in those races on that turf. I mean, it was...
Here we go. There's Channel Maker on the front end.
Super boggy. Bye-bye Melvin, of course, gets a little bit of revenge, maybe. The quote-unquote revenge for his sister, Mean Mary, who got beat the week before. And Bye-bye Melvin runs a great race. And then Channel Maker in here. You know, I wrote about him in the paper today. Always a little bit of a tricky kind of horse. He can get ranked behind horses, alongside horses, ahead of horses. But typically, he runs his best maybe when he breaks well and kind of can run free on the lead like that. Now, he doesn't always break well. So when he doesn't break well, if he's rushed, he can kind of fight the rider too. So, you know, it's kind of a tough situation that riders can sometimes get in. But Manny Franco had ridden him the last couple times. I mean, look at him here. He's just carrying his head real high. Yeah. He's got a lot of personality, I think, and Billy Mott over the years has called him kind of an overachiever. He's won three grade ones now, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, Bill Mott said after the race, he's not like a jockey's dream to ride. You have to work a little bit. But
pretty nice dream talent. Right here, I mean, just drawing away, and he clearly loved the going. They run 2:34 for a mile and a half, like European-style time there, you know? I mean, but it was very much a European-style course, you know, like bottomless ground.
Yes, Grand Motion after his race says that it's as soft as you'll see it up here.
Yeah, you know.
And we watched for folks who weren't watching on Saturday, we watched a couple of races there. The Sword Dancer was sun, but you saw the Forco was driving rain, and really it was, as far as quirky weather days up here, that's about as quirky as it gets, because it went driving rain to sun probably three times during the afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. And then while the horses are in the paddock for the Sword Dancer, I look at my phone and there's a tornado warning.
Everybody's phone went off. Yeah. As we were waiting to interview Trombetta. Exactly. Everybody's phone went off.
It's going to expire at whatever. And you know, you're kind of looking around and it's kind of like sunny, but sort of a little bit too still. And I spent some time when I lived in Lexington, and every once in a while they would have a tornado warning down there. And I can remember on two occasions having to go kind of to a secure kind of low location, which was a little bit scary, and it didn't quite have that feel, but a little bit like that.
Yeah.
And I was kind of looking around like, where am I going to go here at Saratoga? But thankfully everything was okay. You know, the tornado warning expired and no damage.
In the area, though, we had it, for sure. It didn't come close to the track. Not a level of weather, but it did come downpour a couple of times during the day.
Well, we've been lucky this meet with the weather. I mean, we're getting it today, and gotten a little bit lately, but
yeah, there've
been
a couple in the last week. But boy, the early part of the meet was gorgeous. And I've said a couple of times, that's another kind of disappointment that the fans couldn't be here. The racing was so good, and the weather has been really nice up until, as I say, the last 5 days or so. There've been a couple of days like this. Although the next four are supposed to revert back to some nice weather.
That's right
so
here. Yeah.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. Nice weekend coming up. So again, remind us.
So we have
the schedule. Pick up digital issues on Wednesdays and Saturdays at businesshorseracing.com. But you have the special kind of recap issue.
There's one today. Right, yeah, today is our third to last, I guess. Recaps all the weekend stuff, kind of previews up ahead, including the showcase day. I heard you with Jeremiah earlier. He's got some good chances in there. And then a Saturday edition, which kind of doubles as our final Saturday Woodward Day / Kentucky Derby Day edition, which is kind of cool. We'll have some fun stuff in there, some features about the Derby, previews of the Derby, previews of the big weekend here, handicapping, of course, as always. And then we're gonna wait a week and do a meet wrap-up / Derby wrap-up on the 12th. I was trying to push it ahead to maybe do it on the Wednesday, and then we can kind of put our feet up after that. But, hey, it'll give us a week to kind of to rally. And, of course, we'll end up just running around like crazy on Friday, getting it all done for Saturday. But and that'll be it. That'll be 17 issues in the books, knock on wood, for the season. Very unique season, and but very rewarding in a lot of ways, and a lot of fun, and good challenges. And, Sean and Joe doing things from afar. Me doing it here with a limited team. But everybody's kind of rose to the occasion, much like a lot of the folks at NARA and, people like you, Seth, and the other members of the press that are back here working. And of course, the horsemen and the jockeys and all the people taking care of the horses have really done an amazing job putting on the show.
Agree completely. You guys have done a good job with the Saratoga Special, which, again, is really an integral part of the Saratoga scene, has been for years now as the Clancy brothers inaugurated it. What, this was this 20?
So this was our 20th season published in the paper. So we always have a meeting in January, we call it the summit. We had some great plans, amazing plans. We're almost going to have like 40 events, like for 40 days. And some of them were just going to be kind of like, hey, we're going to the state park to go for a run. Meet us, for a run. Other things, we were going to have a party, some happy hours, things like that. Obviously, none of that stuff's going on this year. We put it on hiatus. A lot of people say, oh, you got to do it for 21. But, hopefully down the road we'll have 25 years, which would be awesome. And the return of the print product. I mean, it's been digital this year. Like you said, you can get it at thisishorseracing.com. You can download it, get on our mailing list, find us on social media. But, return to the print. I was talking to some folks yesterday, and they're like, I really look forward to hoping having the print edition back. And I said, the reason why we didn't print it this year was so we could print it next year. So, this year would have been extremely hard to do. So our plan is to print it back.
And the industry needs that pipeline of interns, which the Saratoga Special, for folks, I mention it all the time, Gabby Gaudette and Travis Stone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, went through the graduate program at the Saratoga Special. Before I let you go, got to get a little update. Always check in how Chapaisian is doing on the handicap.
116 winners.
Yeah, I got 105.
So I got 103.
So
he's cleaning me up now. He's got me by 13.
With a week left.
105.
All right.
Well, maybe he'll, I don't know, maybe his internet won't work or something, and he won't be able to.
But, again, the selections are available every day at the website.
Absolutely.
Print edition, the digital print edition. Wednesdays and Saturdays, but the selection's available every day. And just before I let you go, I'd also like an update. Tom's the president of the National Turf Writers and Broadcasters Association. We talked last week about the pool reporters that'll be covering the Derby.
Yeah.
Five of them down there who essentially are doing the yeoman's majority of the work.
Yeah.
And they really have been doing great work over the past few days. They've been sending out some videos and whatnot.
Yeah,
how's that working out?
An amazing amount of content this team of five is churning out. I think of them as very Saratoga Special-esque. But these are big-time professionals, Jenny Reese and Alicia Hughes, Greg Hall, Byron King, and Nicole Russo, just been cranking it out, going out there in the mornings, watching the horses train, talking to the horsemen, getting a lot of one-on-one type stuff, which you don't normally get at the Derby at all, unless you were to come back in the afternoon and do that kind of stuff. So they're just churning it out, and it's being picked up by media outlets all over the country. People are in... XYZ town and they may have a connection to some horse and they're getting that content. I know Tim Wilkin at the Times Union has been using a little bit of it here in the area. We're going to use a lot of it in the special this coming weekend. I know for sure I will. You know, of course, Tis the Law. It was there yesterday, arrived yesterday, trained today. So going to have a lot of that stuff as well. So we'll hopefully churn that stuff out on our website and have it in the next couple editions.
Yeah, as the president of the association, pass on our thanks to the team down there because they're doing a great job.
They are.
In a difficult kind of a year. But we also appreciate your swinging by. Last visit of the season, but we appreciate the Wednesday visits. And again, tell people to pick up the edition today of this brand new edition Saturday, and then the recap coming up next week as well, looking at the meet and the Derby. Should be a lot of fun for the Saratoga Special. Tom, appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Appreciate the time all season. It's been great.
Yeah, it's been fun. Tom Law from the Saratoga Special. Now, he's back. Eric Donovan. He's in the studio here. We haven't had him on for a while. Used to be a regular in here, and I said to him at the beginning of the meet, we got to get you back here. So he's here now, director of TV and broadcast operations for NYRA. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Maybe he'll give us a couple ideas for today, too. So stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Thank you. I think what you guys are doing is awesome.
You're doing a great job. Keep that game rolling.
Seth, you do a great job too. So thank you, and I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate watching your show every day.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, I mentioned at the top of the show, used to have Eric Donovan in here fairly regularly when he was doing the pregame over on the NYRA side. Now he has moved from in front of the camera to behind the camera as the director of TV and broadcast operations over there. So we'll talk a little bit about that and more with Eric Donovan. Good morning.
What's that? There you go.
Very good. Happy to have you back here again. As they say, it's been a couple of seasons at least, but you've moved over to a new position. Let's talk a little bit about that. TV production at NYRA, certainly from those days where you were in front of the camera to now behind the camera, things have ramped up significantly. The pregame show, I think, is a little more elaborate maybe, but notably the Fox show, Fox MSG, where you guys do a great job and have been doing a great job. Talk a little bit about everybody I've had in here. We've talked about the quarantine period, and you guys with the tracks that were running, America's Day at the Races, kind of kept things going as far as fans and maybe drew some new fans in during the quarantine period.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we sure did. You know, the lack of live sports going on, that created a lot more opportunity for us to be on FS2 and especially on FS1, where, you know, last year I think maybe we had an hour or two on FS1, and, you know, this year we're probably up to, gosh, at least 50 hours, probably more than that, and you know, pushing probably, you know, 700 hours for the year when all is said and done between FS1 and FS2. So it was a big opportunity, and with the void and or the lull in sports betting and things like that, a lot of people came on to sign up for NYRA Bets and watch the show, and you know, that kind of made it a different show for us because we kind of had to appeal to a new viewer, getting people introduced to the sport and not trying to, you know, talk over their head, not too much inside baseball stuff, trying to, you know, kind of keep it at a basic level but not insulting our, you know, our regulars that watch as well.
Now you've transferred up here to Saratoga and the Saratoga Live program, and I know I always have trouble getting the folks in here that I used to have in here because there are production meetings in the morning that kind of overlap, so I'm glad you're in here this morning to talk with us, and you know, you kind of alluded to it, but talk a little bit about just over the past few years, the Saratoga Live program has become so popular, and this year, again, given the circumstances, it's understandable, but boy, the hours, the broadcast hours have expanded too.
Yeah, I mean, when we first started doing it, I think we were doing two and a half hours, like 4 to 6:30, you know, the last pick four, the pick five, the last four or five races of the day, and then, you know, it started to grow into longer shows, 4 or 5 hours, and then turned into the whole day. So it's great. We have such a great team assembled, not only talent, but the production staff, the operators, the crew. I mean, you know, it's about, all said and done, about 60 people. Some of them, you know, primarily work on the simulcast side, but a lot of them go back and forth as well. So just a lot of talented people that work very hard between the talent, the producers, and the whole staff, just getting things ready and staying up until 1, 2, 3 in the morning doing rundowns, and then coming in the next day to make sure that everything's lined up and ready to go and there's not any changes. And so it's really a full team effort that, you know, just being able to oversee it, you know, kind of makes me very proud for myself and for NYRA and for horse racing, because, you know, this is something that, you know, I don't think this is something that anyone saw coming. And then, you know, Tony Olivato, with the support of Dave O'Rourke, comes in, and, you know, this was his idea to do this and to be able to promote NYRA Bets and get NYRA Bets out there as well to, you know, kind of help NYRA as a company. So, you know, hats off to them, obviously, for seeing the big picture.
Yeah, you should be proud, because it's a great product. And again, as a horse racing fan, I'm happy because it promotes the horse racing industry. And particularly during this period, I think it's done a great job of maybe bringing some new fans in. But I think just on a regular basis, it potentially brings new fans in. As being on Fox, you have a national audience now. And I think you guys do a good job of talking to both the horse player and maybe some new players as well. The tape pieces you guys have done have been very good over the last few months. A lot of them focusing on some of the, you know, the chaplaincy. You were doing those during the quarantine period. You've done some TRF things. I saw Old Friends over the weekend. You were up Old Friends at Cabin Creek. Mm-hmm. Those tape pieces are very good. Take us through a typical broadcast day, because, you kind of alluded to it, and I know talking to the folks as part of the production over the past couple of seasons, there are late nights when rundowns are texted or emailed or whatnot. And as I noted, you have the production meeting in the morning. Take us through a typical broadcast day.
Well, a typical day will start, you know, probably 6-7 o'clock for some of the people coming in, shooting things on the backstretch of, you know, a major stakes horse is working. You know, obviously we want to make sure we cover that, and 'tis the law of those types of horses. Obviously we want to try to get their every move as much as possible, because that's a big draw to the show. So those guys will be out there, some of the production assistants, some of the shooters and editors, they'll be out there early in the morning doing what they need to do to get those kind of shots. The rest of the production staff kind of comes in a little bit after that, trying to get, you know, the rundown in order, trying to line up the video elements, making sure we have everything. The production call is at 10 o'clock, so we used to all, last year we would all go in the boardroom and do it. There would probably be about 15 or 20 of us jammed in there, so obviously not the way to go this year, so we do it over the phone. Typically it's taking like a half hour or so, and then just trying to get everything ready for the show, a lot of communication between the producers and the talent to make sure we're all on the same page, and the production crew, the union crew that we have, they're in there working, making sure everything's ready to go and everything is playing right. There's no problems with it, because sometimes, as you know, in TV, everything looks good. You put it on the server to play and it doesn't play, you know, and stuff like that. So a lot of that goes into it. Then when we get into the show, you know, it's, you know, you're kind of just at the mercy of the racing and what goes on, and you have to deal with some schedule changes here and there, weather, inquiries, things like that, that, you know, kind of force you to shuffle the rundown a little bit. When I was producing, that was always kind of fun. It was kind of hard work and a little nerve-wracking, but, you know, you got to think on your toes stuff like that. So, you know, that's a lot of fun, and those guys just go at it all day long. There's usually two shifts of talent, so, you know, no one's sitting there working for, you know, 5-6 hours a day, so keeps those guys fresh. And, you know, once the day's over, you know, kind of a little bit of a recap of it, then the producers might go get some dinner or something like that, and then on to work at the rundown, and it's out at 1 a.m., and then we start all over again the next day.
It sounds familiar. We're not doing it at the same level with the national program, but and as I said, you guys do a great job. I'm curious, has it made a difference from the production side, no fans?
Yes, it's very different. You know, obviously, when you're in racing, I'm sure you know this too, I mean, especially up here, you feed off the buzz and stuff like that. So opening day was just, you know, one of the most bizarre days of my life, I think. And, you know, I was down at Belmont for the Belmont Stakes, and, you know, that was different too. But for some reason, you know, it's Saratoga. It's people you see, you know, once a year. It's people you see for, you know, a few days, friends that, you know you're not going to see this year. So from a production standpoint, though, yeah, I mean, it makes it, you know, it makes it even more, I guess, a little more pressure just to make sure you can tell the storylines and, you know, everything. Everyone's depending on you to watch it. So for sure, it's different. And, you know, you do feed off the, you know, you have the great shots of the fans all around and just, you know, setting the atmosphere of Saratoga. So, you know, obviously we couldn't do that this year. So trying to pick different ways to do it. We did some viewing parties earlier in the year and stuff like that, went around and kind of showed that a little bit. So, you know, trying to keep the fans involved as much as possible through some social media stuff as well. But we certainly miss them here and, you know, glad they're watching at home, but, you know, certainly miss them in Saratoga.
Yeah, the show has helped to bring new fans in. So hopefully when the gates open, they will be amongst the people that come in here. For folks who haven't seen you, again, you know, used to be kind of a regular in here, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, but just how'd you get into the game, how'd you become a fan, and how'd you get into the NIRA side of things?
Well, I mean, I started in high school just going to play the races and stuff like that.
I know how that works.
Yeah, right. You know, I think my senior year in high school, I had maybe seventh and eighth period free, so I'd, you know, have one period after lunch, so I'd get to, get to the track around, like, 2 o'clock or something like that and be able to get most of the card in, and then in 1997, when the New York Turf Riders Association used to give away a scholarship, so I was lucky enough to win that in 97, which included an internship in the press box in 97, the summer of 97 up here, which was my first summer here. And then when I graduated school in 99, I went to work for the communications office in Glen Mathis, and, you know, fortunate to have a lot of different roles over the years and many different experiences. It's really been a great run.
Yeah, as I say, for years of the pregame show, and you would sit in with us, and now behind the camera. I went the other way. I used to have a production company in town. I was behind the camera for a lot of time, and now I'm out in front of the camera. I like both, but what's your experience? I like being behind the camera now.
I like it a lot. I mean, it's very different. You know, it's I think it's more responsibility just because, you know, a lot of people are looking in your direction. If you don't coordinate things well, if you don't communicate things well, it's going to get hairy and you're going to hear about it. So, you know, it was great to be on camera. It was great. You know, I really enjoyed doing the morning line. It was, you know, hard work too. You know, it was a lot of fun, and I was disappointed when, you know, first I was told that they were looking to make me, you know, off camera and get more into production and stuff like that. But, you know, once I started producing the shows and getting into that, it was a lot of fun, and just really enjoying it and getting to work with all the good people that we work with and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's no complaints. It's great.
Yeah, as I say, I transitioned the other way, and I have to admit I miss it because you've kind of hinted at that. It's behind the camera, I think there's a little more creativity maybe involved in day-to-day. Mm-hmm. You know, not that this doesn't have a certain amount of creativity,
still
planning a show, but being behind the camera, particularly live, which I didn't do a lot of, but I would shoot live to tape some things, and as you kind of said, sometimes it becomes very interesting when you're doing that kind of thing, and you have to kind of think 3 steps ahead because you kind of don't know how things are going to work out. You've got plan A going, and you've got plan B as a backup, and both of those go out the window.
Right. Yeah, that's very true, and a lot of it comes down to not even today, but looking ahead to next week down the road. What are we doing this weekend? Stuff like that. I mean, you got to try to see a little bit more at a higher level, I guess, and kind of make sure the pieces are in place to be successful down the road, and kind of let the people that do the show every day, let them handle the day-to-day stuff. And, you know, obviously I'll be involved in some decisions and things like that, and, you know, Tony will as well. But it's a lot of it is kind of big picture stuff and down the road, not so much on a day-to-day basis. So
talking down the road, I mean, the show's expanded and really picked up during that quarantine period to fill out a kind of a void for sports fans, and you did a great job, and we come back up here to Saratoga, and again, they expanded coverage over the past few years. Have you folks looked ahead and kind of planned out the fall and what we're going to look forward to as far as the Fox and MSG show?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have full coverage up until the end of November. Churchill Downs, you know, obviously this week, and when NBC's on, we won't show the races there this week, but we'll be back for the meet later on in September with them, and then also in November as well. So You know, it's going to be 4 or 5 days a week most weeks until the end of November, and probably Cigar Mile Day or Cigar Mile Week even too. So it'll keep going. It'll be all day. You know, as long as we can go and get the airtime. And that's, you know, one thing with, you know, sports still being kind of up in the air, we've managed to, you know, have fewer interruptions to the schedule than we have in the past. So that's a good thing. But yeah, we're going strong through the end, man.
Yeah, as a horse racing fan, I will give you my objective opinion as just a fan. You guys are doing a great job. It's fun to watch up here at Saratoga. I watched the replay a little bit later on because I'm usually front side. But during the quarantine period, it was fun to watch, certainly day in and day out, and I look forward to the return in the fall as well with some of that action as you transition downstate. Let's transition and talk a little bit Kentucky Derby over the weekend, but let's do that by talking a little bit about the broadcast. We're going to watch the replay of the stretch run of the Travers, Tis the Law, but you guys got to cover the Travers, and then what's it like, you know, kind of ramping up from day to day? Saratoga is special every day, but what's it like when you have, you know, essentially a potential Triple Crown type of a horse, the marquee race of the Saratoga meet, and you guys are covering that? It has to, you know, the excitement and the butterflies have to ramp up a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we start thinking about it, you know, weeks, months in advance. I mean, this year it turned out to be more weeks in advance because we didn't know kind of what the atmosphere would be like and everything, but it was huge to have it on Fox broadcast, on Big Fox, as we call it. So, you know, that's even more exposure than on FS1, obviously. So an hour and a half on Big Fox is huge, and you know, just we had to bring in separate, you know, production crew and production truck and stuff like that to get all that going. We've got an airplane for the day to do overhead shots, which really you know, really brought the broadcast to a higher level. And you know, it's one of those days where you really miss the fans, right? I mean, that's a day where, you know, it's going to be packed, you know, people are going to be dressed to the nines, and you know, that's part of the story. So we didn't have that story this year, so it was more about the horses and the racing than anything else. So it was a great experience, and you know, hopefully next year we're all in a better spot in terms of, you know, how the country's looking in from a health scenario, and we can do even more stuff. But it was tricky getting people on because we needed them to, you know, have negative COVID tests, and people were coming from states that were, you know, outside the Northeast, and they had to come in and test, and it was just, you know, a process of getting that and making sure that everyone was healthy and safe when they got here, and the existing crew and people that were here were safe as well.
Yeah, it's a whole extra level of pre-production to the whole scenario. So we watched Tis the Law there, looked very good in the Travers. Curious your thoughts. They drew for the Kentucky Derby yesterday, and Tis the Law winds up number 17, post position of 18. I think that's fine. It came down to the last two pills. He was either going to be 2 or 17. I'm sure they wanted 17 rather than 2. I just, to me, he just looked so good, you know, particularly with the unfortunate defection of Art Collector. Honor AP, I guess, becomes the potential other horse that folks will look at. But I just think Tis the Law is so good. And now being proven in the fashion he was at the mile and a quarter, he just looks so tough to me.
He does look tough. And, you know, I mean, since we've gotten to see him pretty much, you know, throughout the beginning of his career, throughout, you know, this year as well, you know, it's even more of a special feeling, right? Yeah. I mean, he's the hometown horse. He's the New York horse. And, you know, going out there as a 3-5 favorite to win the Kentucky Derby, I mean, that's huge. So, yeah, I mean, he hasn't done anything wrong. I mean, even, you know, the race he lost to Churchill last year, he had, you know, a ton of trouble. It was a wet track and stuff like that. So, I mean, he's just an amazing horse. It seems like he's brought his game to the next level this year. And, yeah, I think the post is perfect for him. I guess they're all a little bit more closer together this year than they were last year with the 20-horse starting gate. But, yeah, he looks tough. I mean, Honor AP and Authentic, the other choices in there. If I'm saying that, you know, I think Tis the Law is going to win, I'm probably looking for a long shot or something like that for second. Two horses I took a look at, just the typical Derby, you know, come from out of the closers that may not look like they're in, you know, top form compared to some of the others right now. Enforceable, South Bend, horses that I think will lay back, and if there's, you know, a little bit of hitting up front, they're the ones that kind of come from behind and at a price. So, I don't know, it's going to be tough for me to pull a trigger on Tis the Law, Honor AP, or Authentic Exact. I think you got to try to spice it up a little bit and try to find a long shot. So those are my two ideas.
Thousand Words is going better since moving to Del Mar. See what the price is there. I mentioned earlier on the handicapping show, always have to pay attention to Dallas Stewart, maybe, with a long shot coming in second. For our friends at West Point, he has winning impression at a big price. And just some thoughts on the Oaks on Friday, which, to me, becomes big based on what we've seen up here in the past few weeks. Sure. Gamine and her performance up here, and Swiss Skydiver, who looked great in the Alabama, they've kind of put themselves right there as far as the three-year-old Philly. Speets has an upset chance, but I'm really looking forward to off the Saratoga performances, Gamine versus Swiss Skydiver.
Yeah, me too. I'm really looking forward to seeing how the race unfolds. I mean, obviously, Gamine is the speed, and she's going to be out there for sure. How close is Swiss Skydiver? Is anyone else in, you know, in contention? And how far can Gamine go, right? I mean, her two best races are the, around one turn, a mile at Belmont and seven furlongs here. Yeah, she won at Oaklawn, but, you know, eventually got disqualified, obviously. But, you know, it was she seems like a her more brilliant efforts have been around one turn. Yeah. Can she carry her speed? Two turns, can she go a mile on eighth? Those are the big question marks. And certainly Swiss Skydiver, I thought she was a little bit vulnerable last time out in the Alabama, but she totally proved me wrong. I mean, she was terrific that day, and you know, probably could have won by more. So, you know, I'm just curious to see when, you know, when does Tyler make his move? How close does he try to stay to Gamine? And yeah, and Speech seems like the other horse that's moving in the right direction too. But I think she's got some improving to do to catch up on the top two.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun way to kick off the weekend. You know, Derby and Oaks weekend, I said it earlier again on the Handicappers Report, kind of soak it in because this has to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience of the last weekend of Saratoga overlapping with
Oaks. Let's hope it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I'm with you. I said probably a once-in-a-lifetime. Let's make sure it's a once-in-a-lifetime. But it should be a lot of fun, and it's a big weekend up here as well. You guys will have coverage and commentary on all of the racing, and it should be a lot of fun. And Eric, again, pass it on to the crew as well. Just as a fan, I think you guys are doing a great job at the Fox show. It's been a lot of fun to watch, really, since it inaugurated a few years back. But seeing it expand, it's become better and better, and covering the whole card up here at Saratoga, really doing a great job. So thanks to you. Thanks to the rest of the crew there. But appreciate the visit. It's been fun.
Always good to catch up.
A rebound in here for our friend Eric Donovan. I appreciate it.
Thanks, sir.
Eric Donovan, again, Director of TV and Broadcast Operations for the New York Racing Association. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap it up. I'll hit some of the promos that are coming up as well, and then we'll call it a day for Racing Across America. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple.
The New York hero, Tiz the Law and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes.
When New York bred Tiz the Law won the 2020 Belmont Stakes, OTB TV was live with owner Jack Knowlton to capture all the excitement.
And certainly seeing what he did today, we think a mile and a quarter is well within his range, and hopefully he can prove it at Saratoga Race Club.
For exclusive interviews and racing information, stay with Capital OTB and OTB TV and win more.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As usual, I'm running late, so I have to wrap it up. But thanks to our friend Eric Donovan. That was fun. Tom Law from the Saratoga Special. Again, three issues left. Today's issue is out, but you can check that at thisishorseracing.com. I would say you can also type in Saratoga Special into Google. You'll find it. But they also have the Saturday issue, and then next week they'll have kind of a recap of the meet and a recap of Kentucky Derby action as well. And thanks, top of the show, to our friend Jeremiah Englehart, who, again, had a nice Friday winning a stake last week, and he's got a couple of nice ones on New York Showcase Day coming up as well. And speaking of, yeah, here it is. Speaking of alerting you of things, I've had this note now for a few days and haven't done it, but do know, across the street, National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame, which has been shut down since January for renovations, they reopen on September 5th. So in this period of, hey, what do we do? What are things to do? The museum, which has some social distancing measures in place and whatnot, but they'll reopen with a brand new redo across the street. National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame reopens on September 5th. There's a new film, new 16-minute film. There's kind of an interactive board where you can pull up the plaques and the information on the Hall of Fame inductees. And it looks like, from what I've seen, it looks like it's a nice redo over there. But again, keep in mind, museum reopening on September 5th. Don't forget, today there's a double promotion at the Clubhouse Racebook. If you want to choose that on a rainy kind of damp afternoon as your venue, you get to enjoy the double promotion down at the Clubhouse Racebook. Tomorrow there's a $100 online knockout challenge. Check the website for more information, capitalotb.com. Tomorrow there's also the online late pick four with Mike Callahan. And as he noted in here, that paid off for the team last week. He hit for 300, but he was alive for four other tickets that were over $1,000. We'll see what Mike can do with the online pick four tomorrow. Check out the website for your chance to get on the bankroll team. Friday, the bounty bet returns. Somebody hit it last week and took down the whole bounty, so we reset at $500. Bounty bet, all you have to do to take your shot at all or part of that bounty, play the late pick five at Saratoga on Friday with your Capital OTB bet account. Friday, there's also a Saratoga track bonus to the top 50 highest wagering account holders. You get a little extra money in your account. Saturday Syndicate is already signed up, I believe. I believe Mike said that. Check the website, though, for more information. He actually said there'd be a couple of syndicates this week, which I think is also plays into Monday and the mandatory payout on the Empire 6. So check the website for the syndicates and the situation there. But as Mike said, it's been such a popular promotion that the syndicates will continue after the Saratoga meet. Saturday, Brianetto live from Bailey's, right downtown in Saratoga. I know Sully was there last week. They had a nice crowd. I ate dinner there a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half or so ago. Nice crowd on the evening I was there. But nice place to enjoy the races and maybe get on the bankroll team. And hopefully Brian last time, a couple of weeks ago, he was out at Prime and juiced his bankroll up to over $1,000. So everybody wound up with some money. See if you can have your chance by showing up at Bailey's on Saturday from 1 to 6. Sunday, double promotion at the Clubhouse Racebook. And as mentioned, Monday, there is an Empire 6 syndicate coming up. Don't forget on Derby and Oaks Day, advanced wagering starts Thursday for the Oaks and the Derby. Friday, September 4th, Oaks Day, the clubhouse opens at 9:30. All other branches open at 10 with early post times. Saturday, the clubhouse opens at 9. All other branches open at 10. That's Saturday. Clubhouse Racebook on Saturday, the first 150 people through the door get a commemorative derby glass. Friday and Saturday, at Martell's out at the Colony Golf Course. I believe the Betmobile will be there. And Chris's Midtown Tavern on Derby Day. Bet Bus, I think, is there as well. So there are a couple other options for you on Oaks and or Derby Day. Derby and Oaks Day, also note early post times here. And at Churchill, we'll have an early post time as far as OTB TV on Friday and Saturday. We'll kick things off at 8 a.m. with the handicapper support and 9 a.m. Friday Racing Across America, 9 a.m. Saturday with Saturdays at the Spa. And I think Saturdays at the Spa this week is going to have a little bit of a handicapping concentration on the Churchill card. So handicapper support will look at Saratoga for Saturday. Saturdays at the Spa will look at Churchill Downs, I think, is the game plan. And also, normally, we have the nice seminar down at the Clubhouse Racebook for the Kentucky Derby. Well, obviously, we can't do that this year. But we are going to tape tomorrow after the the morning program, your son, Brian Nadeau, and I. And I think special guest, I think we'll have Jeremy Plonk join us from HorsePlayerNow.com, Countdown to the Crown. We're going to take that after tomorrow's show, a little half hour, 45 minutes, and that'll get plugged in Friday and Saturday here on the network, probably also available on our Capital OTV YouTube channel. But again, we normally do the Derby seminar. Don't have that scheduled this year, but we'll do kind of a virtual seminar and go over the Derby field and whatnot. Brian Nadeau, myself, and as I say, special guest Jeremy Plonk as well. So we'll alert you a little more as to where to find that, but I'm assuming earlier on Friday and Saturday, and again, the YouTube channel likely as well. All right. Now I'm really late, so I have to get off for this edition of Racing Across America. Enjoy the races this afternoon. The rain has let up, and as I say, it's supposed to warm up. Hopefully it holds off and turns out to be a nice, fun day. You cash some tickets and load up the bankroll as we head into the last weekend. That's going to certainly be the game plan. So enjoy the races this afternoon. We'll be back on tomorrow here on the network as far as the live morning programming at 9 a.m. with the handicapper support. We'll see you then.
Been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit LeahCars.com. Leah Cars for life. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.